Welcome to your turn. This is Mike Causey, and really glad to have you with us today. A very special show coming up. I'm going to be spending the next hour with John Berry. He is probably well-known to most federal workers. He's director of the Office of Personnel Management, spent a long time on Capitol Hill, and I've got a couple of war stories, John, I want to get into in that. But he knows the federal workforce probably as well as anybody in town and probably anybody that's ever been in this town. You know, in the column business, they say when you start quoting yourself, maybe it's time to take a vacation. And that's good advice, but I feel compelled to borrow from today's Federal Report column, which said that Public Service Recognition Week, which we are in the midst of now, isn't a very big deal to most Americans normally. Most people think of it as federal workers praising other federal workers and themselves. But it is maybe a big deal, particularly after the events of this Sunday. A lot of people, suddenly we have become family. Suddenly we're using the we word. We got bin Laden. And that's true, but actually the people involved in intelligence gathering, law enforcement, all manner of federal agencies and all occupations, a lot of them had hands in this, as well, obviously, as the military. And people from, you know, dozens of agencies took 10 years, went down detours, blind alleys, coal trails. They tracked bin Laden down, and it allowed most of us who really didn't have that much to do with it, who were outside the loop, to feel good, too. And so, John, delighted to have you here on Public Service Recognition Week, and you had some interesting comments yesterday. Our own Jason Miller was at the ceremonies.
Well, Mike, it's great to be back with you and an honor to be here with you as we help celebrate this important week. I think you hit the nail right on the head. An incredible week, to focus on the fact that, the team, God bless our Navy SEALs who went in there and took out this enemy of humanity. But, behind them, were men and women in the Foreign Service, the State Department, all of our intelligence agencies, the Defense Department, civilians throughout, who over the past decade have tirelessly pursued this individual. And it was their united effort that produced the success that we're celebrating on Sunday. You know, Mike, I think a lot of people forget 100,000 civilians from our civilian service have been on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan in the past 10 years. So, you know, war fighting in the modern era, in the 21st century, is no longer done just by our men and women in uniform. It is also a much more significant engagement of our civil service. And so I don't think Americans know that. And this is a teaching moment where we can hopefully get that word out that, look, both are putting their lives at risk, and both are putting their lives on the line.
There was a letter to the Washington Post today, letter to the editor, and from a retired Foreign Service officer, and he said over his 25 years of serving, most of it abroad, he had literally seen hundreds of his colleagues killed in the line of duty.
Yes, and Mike, I've had men and women in uniform come up and say, we all have a tough job, but he said, at least we get to shoot back. He says, we're armed. He says, a lot of our colleagues in the civil service who are on the ground with us in some of these very dangerous situations aren't armed. And they're there, serving their country, trying to make the world safer, dealing with these terrorist situations, and putting their lives at risk. And, we need to honor both of those efforts. Our civil service and our military take the same oath to the Constitution, Mike, and they both need to be treasured by our country and our neighbors for the sacrifice they both endure.
Right. And, federal workers, people know this, but they, I think, sometimes forget, have been targets, at least since the Oklahoma City bombing, which were internal terrorists, hundreds killed. The man that was killed in Austin, Texas, the IRS employee, when a crazed taxpayer flew into it. And this happens all the time.
Mike, that's another statistic that people, I think Americans would be surprised to hear. Since 1992, 2,965 civil servants have died in the line of duty. Now, some of those have been on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan, but just as recently as, last month, one of our border patrol dealing with the violence in northern Mexico, which we know is a very tough situation right now that our states along the border are facing and our agents are facing there every day. Killed in the line of duty. Last year, an IRS agent killed, when a crazed individual ran his plane into the window. One of the saddest things I've heard, Mike, is that the child of that IRS worker who was killed by that individual said, you know, my dad was so dedicated to helping people that if the guy in the plane had just called my father, he would have helped him. And that typifies the sacrifice and the dedication and the professionalism that our civil service bring day in and day out, 365 days a year.
Yeah, that was a tragic irony of that particular case. It was in Austin, Texas, and it was a rented building with federal offices in it. And I remember the son saying, I believe the father's name was Vernon, but he said, my dad was always helping people with tax problems, and he would have been the guy to go to.
Yeah, and that plays out. And so, you know, 2,965 just since 92, Mike, and that's our law enforcement people, our dedicated folks in law enforcement. It's our forest fires. The western United States, it's our civil servants who run into the fire there, not away from the fire, in an attempt to protect towns and houses in the western United States from forest fires and rescuing individuals and protecting property in our forests. So, there are example after example of just sacrifice. And I like to remind people, you know, scripture says no greater love has this than to lay down your life for another. Our civil service go to work, many of them every day, knowing that they may be called upon to do that, just that. And yet they still go. And they go into the fire. They go into dangerous neighborhoods. They go all across the border into areas where there's violence. And they all with the goal of keeping us safe, keeping Americans safe. And it's something we need to honor, Mike, year-round.
You know, National Geographic has just done a new Inside 9/11 documentary. I mean, it's so new that it mentions the death of bin Laden. So it's really up to date. But it's flashbacks, the build-up, too, and it shows what the government did do and the dots that weren't connected and the I's weren't crossed. But it's an amazing thing. And you're talking about public employees, the police and firemen who were in you know, everybody else is coming down. Yeah. They were going up.
Going up.
And there's stories of them and individuals and pictures. So many of them died. And you're right. They didn't think twice about it. It was their job.
You know, Mike, I've told you before, my dad was at the Marine 1st Division of the Marine Corps at Guadalcanal. And my uncle, for whom I'm named, Jack Berry, lost his life. He was a Marine fighter pilot in World War II and was killed in the Pacific in battle. His Purple Heart is one of our family's most treasured possessions. And I often think to myself, I wonder if, you know, if we ought not have something, you know, that we could honor people who lose their lives in the line of duty on the civilian side of the house. How can we better reflect the dignity and the honor and the importance of their sacrifice, not in any way to diminish, you know, obviously the sacrifice of our men and women in uniform is incredible. And but there's got to be a way we as a society can come together to honor anyone who risked their lives for our safety and our good.
That's a great idea. If anybody has any thoughts on that, give us an email here. I'm going to take a very short break. I'm talking with John Berry. He's director of the Office of Personnel Management. We'll be right back here on 1500 AM.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Army plans to use video game technology to train soldiers to safely dispose of improvised explosive devices. The Army's Picatinny Arsenal in New Jersey has received a patent for a virtualized environment that will train explosives disposal personnel to use robotic vehicles. The simulators designed to precisely mimic the controls of the Talon robots the Army uses in theater, as well as the environments where IEDs tend to be found, like in sandbags or courtyards.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology, and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Attention employees of the intelligence community and Department of Defense. Right now, you could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com or call 1-800-826-1126. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102, contract series 83500.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by Quest Government Services. Identify the federal agency problem. The answer? Too many leaks. Quest Security Solutions will help you pinpoint the cracks in your defenses and keep your critical data from seeping out. For a free risk assessment, visit quest.com/federal. That's quest.com/federal.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Osama bin Laden's burial at sea has made some angry, but it's not unusual for the Navy. It's routine. The Navy says it commits to the sea an average of 20 deceased every month, veterans, retirees, and other U.S. citizens. The usual Navy burials at sea are similar, though include an honor guard that fires shots into the air and the playing of taps for Americans who request such burials. They're done during scheduled deployments. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a saying that lightning never strikes the same place twice. Airport operators know that's not the case, which is why they rely on Airink to provide the most advanced lightning warning systems available. It allows personnel to get to safety, then back out on the tarmac in the shortest amount of time to keep you moving. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Facing a new day, delivering services efficiently, improving citizens' lives, Booz Allen Hamilton supports the most important challenges of government, from defense and economic security to health and cyber solutions. Booz Allen's strategy and technology consultants partner with clients to deliver results that endure. Whether managing today's issues or looking beyond the horizon, clients can count on Booz Allen to help them be ready for what's next. BoozAllen.com/ready for what's next.
It wasn't so long ago that collaboration was a bad word in government. Today, we know that the only way to solve our biggest challenges is for industry and government to work together to collaborate. At its upcoming Management of Change conference at the Homestead in Hot Springs, Virginia, ACT IAC provides an ethical and trusted forum to explore solutions to our most pressing IT challenges. Be a collaborator. Register for Management of Change today at actgov.org. That's actgov.org.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm Mike Causey, and I'm talking with John Barry. He's director of the Office of Personnel Management. And we thought at one point that the toughest job the director of OPM had was making those snow calls in the winter. But there are many other challenges. And, John, I wanted to ask you, since this is Public Service Recognition Week, if you got a message for feds. But first, I want to tell a John Barry story, and I have a confession to make, too. John and I first met many, many years ago when he was working on Capitol Hill for Representative Steny Hoyer. And at that time, to some extent, it still exists, the Washington area members of Congress, whether Republican or Democrat, would work together on federal employee issues. And John was usually the point man, so always the point man for Mr. Hoyer, and usually the point man for that coalition. And I want to thank you, John, for you were extremely helpful. I'd call up and say, how's it going and whatnot. And invariably, whether it was a Republican or a Democratic president, they would recommend a lower pay raise. And then feds nearly always got a better deal. And I discovered after about the second year that you were extremely accessible and friendly and open and tough, except when these negotiations were going on. And then you would disappear. You were like the canary in the coal mine. And after a while, I knew if John Barry has disappeared, something's happening. So I would write based on that premise, and people would say, Causey has these incredible inside sources. And all I knew is that you were gone, but that something good would emerge from it. So thank you for helping build my reputation long ago. Yeah, what message? It's Public Employee Recognition Week. Normally, it's a dreary time. It has come true by raining today, but normally it's a big event, but it's not well known to the public. Maybe it'll be different this year.
Well, Mike, I hope so, and I think the president said it really well last week when he sent a letter around to federal employees. The First Lady reaffirmed it in her wonderful message. There's a great video message. I hope folks will go on the White House website and see the First Lady's message. That, you know, there is a keen appreciation that federal employees do their job 365 days a year, and that they are keeping us safe. They're keeping the country moving forward. They're helping us compete economically in the world. They're helping build a brighter future for our children and make sure that they're protected against diseases and other things that that plague our next generation. And they do that with very little recognition and very little pat on the back. And, you know, the president came out and said thank you in that letter. Thank you for the dedication, for the professionalism. Thank you for your oath to uphold our Constitution. And the First Lady reaffirmed that. And I think if anything, that the celebration, the we that you spoke of, 95% of the issues and challenges our country faces, Mike, are not issues that need to be decided by the ideological pole, if you will, the North Pole or the South Pole. They can be, if we work together and work to the common ground, there is nothing to stop America and our great potential. And my hope is that the great lesson is that we that you mentioned that we're so proud of this week, that that we, our persistence, our passion for justice, for integrity, carried the day on Sunday. We can carry the day on so many of the challenges and issues we face if we're willing to step a few feet away from those ideological poles.
My mother was a civil servant. She came here during the war, was a GS-2, I think, working at the brand new Pentagon. And, she worked in a number of federal agencies, worked her way up, went to school and did very well, as they say, for a woman in those days. But the proudest thing she ever did, and she worked in a number of places, was working for the, U.S. Information Agency. She really felt that was something. I have a brother in St. Louis who's with the Defense Department, extremely proud of what he does. And one thing I noticed is that it's unique to the federal civil service, and it's unique to the military, those two groups, the federal family, is people without tears in their eye or without batting an eye, they will say, I served. And you do not hear that in the radio business. You know, I love this place, but I don't say I served WFED. We don't have that feeling. But public servants really do feel that and say it, you know, unashamedly.
And Mike, if you ask 99% of federal employees, why did you join the federal government? Why did you join the military? Why did you join the civil service? It's because they wanted to make the world better, that they wanted to be involved with something bigger than themselves. They wanted to have an impact on a scale that was bigger than they could have in any other place. And, you know, they didn't come here for the money. They didn't come here for the benefits. They came because they were motivated by purpose and challenge. And that's what really keeps them going from generation to generation. And whether or not they're the whipping boy of the day, or they're the whipping post, I should say. I think Secretary LaHood said yesterday, whether people are taking cheap political pot shots at them or whether they're being held up and revered at the moment, they do the job regardless. And that it's that sense of purpose, that sense of mission, that sense of service, which is just makes me so proud to be a part of that team.
Well, I remember, and this goes back some years, but a prominent member of Congress was referring, I think, to ATF agents, but he called them jackbooted thugs.
Yeah.
And less than a year later, a group of those jackbooted thugs who were Capitol policemen, one of them died in the line of duty and the other saved his life.
Yes.
As two crazies came in there. So it can be feast or famine, but it never changes.
As I like to point out, the men and women who are at their desks working intelligence in dark corners of the world last Friday, without any thanks or recognition. And in fact, many people sort of questioning their budget or why are they there and what are they doing? you know, this week are being cheered. They're still doing their job. They're not distracted by either the negative or the positive. They're doing their job. And it's that driven sense of purpose and mission that is just so wonderful to be around in our federal government.
Well, I think about that when I drove to work Monday after the events in Pakistan. I drove past two intelligence agencies, the geospatial agency, yeah. And they did all the maps. And I drove past Homeland Security, which is right around the corner from us. And I thought, there's some really interesting, neat people in there. And the people that I see in the Giant and the Safeway and at Harris Teeter, these are, you know, going about their business, but they're just phenomenal people. And I know you were especially keen. Everybody gives lip service to bringing in new people, but I know you're especially keen to get young, talented people. And as President Obama told you, he said, make the government cool again.
Yep.
And I know you don't want to comment on legislation or whatnot, but you've got all these ideas floating around in Congress now. One of them is to sort of eliminate the civil service retirement component for people, new hires under FERS. I mean, it seems to me that would make for a revolving door government. People might come in, punch their ticket, make their contacts, and then go on. It just seems to me, unless I'm missing something, that could do great damage. Things like that could do great damage to the civil service as a career.
We have to be very careful, Mike, as we look. You know, first, I don't want to leave the impression there are tough challenges ahead of us. You know, the president has been very clear. We have got to get our hands around this deficit. It's essentially an anchor on our future progress. We need to resolve this. And so the president is working very hard now to create a plan that's going to cut $4 trillion out of the federal budget over the next decade. So we know there's going to be, puts and takes, if you will. A big portion of the budget is our salaries and expenses. But the president is keenly aware that we have to be extraordinarily careful as we move into any of these considered actions, because they can impact recruitment. They can impact retention. And we've got to be sensitive that in many cases where we've made a commitment to someone, and when you were hired and you were told this is your expectation, you know, changing the rules midstream is a tough, you know, you don't want to do that regularly as an employer. You've got to have that sense of stability. And so I know the president understands this. I hope all of the other negotiators who are involved in this process will bring that same spirit to the table. Feds are willing to sacrifice. They've done it before. They will do it again. They were the first at the table, and as much as it pained the president to do the 2-year pay freeze, you know, he knew that feds, would step up to that example and send the signal to the country that we're serious about this, that we need to get our deficit situation under control. So the president is grateful for the sacrifice that feds have already undertaken in this initiative and effort, and I know if there's anything else to come, it will be done with extreme care and extreme caution.
Very good. Need to take a short break. Talking with John Barry, Director of the Office of Personnel Management. We'll be right back here on 1500 AM.
Homeland Security doesn't just happen. It takes vigilance, intelligence, and experience to see and solve a problem long before it happens. TASC has done this for America's intelligence and defense communities for more than 40 years. As a proven and trusted partner in our nation's security, TASC has the most sophisticated IT solutions and tailored program management expertise to help DHS protect Americans. Homeland Security by design. That's TASC. Learn more at TASC.com.
With vacation time just around the corner, are you ready to go? Ackerman Security can help keep families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. And switch your existing system to Ackerman at no cost and get a great $18.95 rate. Ackerman is the only company with a guaranteed response time. You want fast response, you want Ackerman. Get 3 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Are you a Federal or U.S. Postal Service employee or an active member of the Uniformed Services? Through June 24th, the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program is holding its first open season for new applicants since 2002. Actively at work, Federal and U.S. Postal Service employees and their spouses or same-sex domestic partners and active members of the Uniformed Services and their spouses are eligible to apply with abbreviated underwriting, which means you answer fewer health questions. Learn more at ltcfeds.com.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by Quest Government Services. Identify the federal agency problem.
Am I number E enough? All the other information is way prettier. I look fat in this network, don't I?
The answer? Insecure data. With Quest's suite of security solutions, even your most sensitive data stays protected. For a free risk assessment, visit quest.com/federal. That's QWEST.com/federal.
With over 20 years of experience providing professional development to federal government employees like yourself, the Center for Excellence in Public Leadership at the George Washington University can help you achieve your career goals. They recognize those who serve in public leadership roles need an educational experience that is practical, intellectually challenging, and directly applicable to one's job. The Center for Excellence in Public Leadership's Senior Leader Program covers all five executive core qualifications and meets the U.S. Office of Personnel Management's requirement for an 80-hour interagency training experience. They also offer the Emerging Leaders Workshop for new supervisors and communication workshops. For more information or to register for a course, visit leadership-programs.org. That's leadership-programs.org. Or call them at 202-994-5392. That's 202-994-5392.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
This week's Kaiser Permanente Experts in Health topic is Eye Health, featuring Dr. Cheryl Keyes, Chief of Ophthalmology for Northern Virginia for the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group.
Eye strain has become one of the leading office-related health complaints. Here are five steps you can take to reduce computer eye strain at work. Dim the lights. Excessively bright lighting can cause computer eye strain. Blink more often. Every 20 minutes, slowly blink 10 times. This helps re-wet your eyes, keep them comfortable, and your vision sharp. Relax your eyes and take frequent breaks. Every 30 minutes, look away from your computer and gaze at something far away. Adjust the top of your monitor so that the screen is slightly below eye level. You can then view it comfortably with your head and neck in a natural position. Get a computer eye exam. According to the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, computer users should have yearly eye exams. Ask your doctor about these and other tips to help you take care of your eyes. Be well and thrive.
To learn more about Kaiser Permanente's Experts in Health, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
Welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with John Berry. He is Director of the Office of Personnel Management, and our session today is fortuitous because not only is it Public Service Recognition Week, which we were aware was coming, but the situation in Pakistan and this great coup, this feat for the federal family, and particularly the intelligence and law enforcement arms of the federal government, but also the map makers and the weather people. You know, there were a lot of people that had a hand in this, even though they did not necessarily know the ultimate goal. And, of course, the military, just a textbook operation. Wonderful. Director, I know everybody's got goals, and we were talking during the break. Have you got top five?
Well, you know, I was clear when I came in, Mike, the three I was going to try to wrestle to the ground were veterans hiring reform, and work life for our federal employees. And I think we've got good progress on all of those. I'm especially proud of everyone across government and how they have stepped up in the challenge to help build a transition for our men and women in uniform who do such a great job on the ground and in war zones, to bring them back when they're done with their service and want to put the uniform down, but would like to continue their oath to the Constitution and their service to their country, to think about civil service. And, we have worked very hard to do that. And last year, Mike, even though across the government we hired 11,000 less federal employees across the land, we hired 2,000 more veterans. 30% of our hires last year were veterans. And I am so proud of our Chico agencies across the government and all of our hiring managers for stepping up to that challenge, and many of them disabled veterans. I'm especially proud of our OPM team because we're a small agency, but we ended up with the highest percentage, not the absolute number, but the highest percentage hires of disabled vets in the entire government last year.
That's wonderful, and it's a sea change because, you know, remember the Vietnam era when people, I knew veterans who said they'd go in an HR office, somebody would refer to them as baby killers or get out of here.
Oh,
major change.
These people are valued, they're experienced, they're trained. That's the mantra I use of sort of this for the word vet. Value, experience, trained, and we need to take advantage of them and know they're welcome. We're working on now creating mentorship programs where we can connect them up so that if they're transitioning into a civilian agency, they know they're welcome, and we can help with any of those transitional issues that you described, Mike. The other thing on hiring reform, this is another one where the Chief Human Capital Officers Council has just stepped up in a huge way. Every agency is moving in the right direction. Our goal is 80 days, but we're down to 100 now. So everybody's moving in the right direction. But, and what I'm so excited about is, everyone is now onto the resume. Everybody's using shorter position descriptions. They're using plain English. So, and it's showing up in the surveys we're doing of people who are coming in applying for jobs that, oh my gosh, this was a lot easier than the last time. And so, I'm very grateful for everyone's effort across the government and the success stories they're delivering there. I would describe it as a triple, not a home run yet, but mm-hmm. we're on base, and that's good. And then lastly is students, we have, over the years, there have been many weeds have grown up around student hiring in the federal government. And it got so confusing. I would go to college campuses and kids would say, how do I get in?
Yeah.
What's the path? And that actually gave us the idea for the name for the president's executive order. We proposed three clean pathways for students, and the president loved that. He created this, and it's what we're going to have now is you'll either be an intern. If you're still in school, you're an intern. If you're a recent grad, we're going to have an easy way for you for a two-year window for you to join the federal family. If you're a vet, you're going to get 6 years. We're again keeping that commitment to our vets. And then we're going to revitalize the Presidential Management Fellowship Program, which is kind of a way for junior managers to get into the federal family and then grow. Many of our senior managers today started that way as a PMF years ago. We're rebuilding its credibility, and we think this year's class is a good testament to that. 1 in 10 made it through the juggernaut to get to the final pool, and it's a great team of talent that agencies can just bring on, interview, and hire immediately out of that pool. And so those are those three pathways, Mike, that I think are going to make a huge difference for bringing that next generation into public service.
I think General Colin Powell was an intern or a fellow.
Absolutely. And I think he was in the White House Fellowship
mm-hmm.
Program. And,
that's right.
And those programs are instrumental in identifying future leaders like that. And, I like to tell people, when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, the average age of mission control, the people getting him there and bringing him home safely was 26. 26. Now, I don't know if I would have trusted a bunch of 20-somethings to strap mm-hmm. a couple million pounds of TNT on my backside, but
right.
They did an incredible job, and something that, not only our nation, but the world can be proud of for all time. We need to make sure that we're always welcoming to the next generation because we need new blood, new talent, new ideas, always joining the federal family. And so they got to know they're welcome and we want them.
Well, mentioning the youth thing, if you go on an aircraft carrier, you're talking about it's being run by 18, 19-year-olds for the most part. A national magazine years ago ridiculed me for a column I did in the Washington Post because I said in it, everybody had a different take, but I said the first man on the moon was a GS-4. 14, and they found that hilarious that and parochial. But he was GS 14.
He is. I use that same line. It's a great one, and it just reminds people, you know, that these folks are astronauts who are flying in the shuttle Endeavour that will be going up soon. They're federal employees. And they're part of the federal family, and we can share pride in each and every one of them.
Well, that's great. About a year ago, you outlined a very broad thing. You were looking at civil service reform, including maybe change in the grade system, change in hiring, and in mentoring and whatnot. How's that going?
Well, you know, Mike, I think I would have to admit, you learn as you go along.
Yeah.
And one thing I've learned here, and I think is when you try to do it all at once, you don't get anywhere. And what has stymied performance and accountability in the federal government has been the linkage with pay. And what I'm going to do is we're going to break that linkage. And we're going to approach what I think is in the right direction, the cart, having the horse before the cart. And that is making sure that we deal with performance accountability first. And then we can talk about pay and rewards and et cetera. Right now we have a credibility problem, not only with the public, but with our own employees and managers. It shows up in our employee survey. People do not feel that their performance is fairly evaluated. They don't feel that good performance is rewarded, and quite frankly, that bad performers are held accountable. And when, you know that, when you have to do that, when someone's next to you and they're not performing, it means you have to do two jobs. And that really can be a dispiriting to our employees. And so we've got to address this issue. We are working at the National Partnership Council in hand in glove with our union partners and our managers to see if we can resolve this issue. And I am very optimistic that this year we will be able to bring forward a major step forward that will restore our ability to build that trust between our employees, our managers, and the public that our performance system is fair, it's reasonable, and can be trusted. And I think once we have solved that step, then we can move on to the next step. So that's how I've broken it into two, if you will, two pictures. We're focusing on the first picture this year, and we'll go forward from there.
Remember the movie Casablanca? I want to do a movie review, but they're giving us a signal here. But when we come back, I want to ask you something about this assault, if you will, on federal government. It's been going on for about a year now. Talking with John Berry, Director of the Office of Personnel Management. We'll be right back here on 1500 AM.
Cindy Castle, Director of the Systems Integration Office of the CIO at the Department of State, on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization and Data Center Consolidation, sponsored by Unisys.
As far as cloud computing is concerned, I think that we're going to see more maturity around cloud computing contracting. I think that right now the vendors really are driving the business rules on that, but I think that the government is going to step in and say, okay, these are the things that we need to have.
Are you making the right moves? Consolidating government data centers and moving to the cloud aren't easy, especially against a backdrop of continued budget cuts. Unisys enables CIOs to manage all of the IT delivery models across their enterprise within a single integrated management framework, helping clients to plan, design, and implement mission-critical cloud solutions cost-effectively. See how Unisys can help you evolve to the new government enterprise at unisys.com/hybrid enterprise. That's unisys.com/hybrid enterprise.
Attention employees of the intelligence community and Department of Defense. Right now, you could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com or call 1-800-826-1126. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102, contract series 835-00.
With vacation time just around the corner, are you ready to go? Since 1967, Ackerman Security Systems has been keeping families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, you can trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, like cell phone control, wireless monitoring, and remote video to your web-enabled phone, iPad, or laptop. Call 888-999-1070 or on the web at AckermanSecurity.com.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
TRICARE, the military's managed healthcare system, is taking a step forward in letting its beneficiaries see their own health records online. The agency's Blue Button tool is getting an upgrade that now lets users see their lab results, patient history, and diagnoses, as well as their own allergy and medication profiles. TRICARE says they developed the system as a partnership with the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The system already has more than 250,000 users.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
IT professionals and graduates from around the country have a lot to say about their experiences from the online masters in information systems from UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
My current title is Chief of Technology. That was one of the things that I was actually looking for, was to have chief or officer within my position title.
Apply today for our upcoming semester. For more information, call 1-800-353-UMBC or visit us online at onlinems.umbc.edu.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by Quest Government Services. Identify the federal agency problem. The answer? Too many leaks. Quest Security Solutions will help you pinpoint the cracks in your defenses and keep your critical data from seeping out. For a free risk assessment, visit quest.com/federal. That's QWEST.com/federal.
If you're like most people, you have many financial questions like, can I afford to retire? How do I protect my nest egg? Will I outlive my money? Hi, I'm Mark Tabron. We'll tackle these questions and more every Saturday morning at 10:30. Learn how to protect and grow your money with me, Mark Tabron, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Can't wait until Saturday? Call Tabron & Associates Financial Services at 301-773-3923.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey talking with OPM Director John Barry, and we've been talking about Public Service Recognition Week and coming at a very great time considering the events of the weekend. Director Barry, I'm an old obituary writer. The Washington Post is one of the assignments they give young people. I can foresee in the first paragraph it will be, John Barry, list your accomplishments, and also the first and maybe only director of the Office of Personnel Management who's had a lion named after him. Now, how did that happen?
Oh, Mike, it's great. When I was at the zoo, our lions were very old, and so knowing that they were not going to survive for much longer, we decided it was time to bring in new genetics into the population for North America, because all of the zoos are having a little bit of an inbreeding problem with their lion population. And so we brought in three new lions, two females and a male, and it wasn't clear that they would necessarily get along, but
not love at first sight.
Thank God they did, and they produced seven cubs in the pride, and the zoo was so kind. I was extremely proud that they named one of them for me, and it was quite an honor. So.
So John Barry, and when he speaks, everybody listens.
I tell people when I get into, if I'm in a tough meeting, White House or on the Hill, I say, now don't mess with me. I'll go get my lion.
You can do your own Charlie Sheen version, Tiger Blood or what have you. Hey, for about a year and a half now, there's been a lot of publicity. I think USA Today probably launched it. And the premise has been that government workers are overpaid. They're overpaid when compared to their counterparts in the private sector. There are too many making high salaries. And the Wall Street Journal has picked that up, the Washington Times, and a number of things. And I know you've challenged them. In fact, you came on Federal News Radio one time just to say, this is how it works, folks. And I think your premise was that Uncle Sam it's not a Walmart operation. This is not Burger King that you're dealing with here. And there was the latest story. When I read it, I felt like Claude Rains. You know, he played the French colonel in Casablanca, and when he was in Rick's and he discovered they were gambling, and he said, gambling, I'm shocked, I tell you. He's one of the biggest gamblers there. And when I saw this story in USA Today that government doctors and lawyers are the highest paid people in government, and I must say I was not shocked. A lot of these are VA doctors, correct?
Well, absolutely, Mike. And you know, I'll tell you, I want my doctor paid more than I am.
Absolutely.
You know, God forbid.
If he comes up driving a Yugo, I'm getting a new doctor.
You got that right. Look, our men and women, thankfully, who are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, are coming back right now with some of the most complicated multi-wound situations that we've ever had to deal with that, quite frankly, in previous conflicts would have led to their death. Our doctors are keeping them alive now. And so our Veterans Affairs hospitals that have to continue to manage these challenging issues when they return, are essentially cutting new ground or new paths through forests here, because they're handling some of the most complicated wound management in the history of the human species. And I'll tell you, the advances that are going to come out of that are going to benefit our children. They're going to benefit each and every one of us, not only the vet who's going to get that great quality of care. So I hope we're paying those doctors well. We need to pay them well, because they've got to face challenges that nobody else are facing. And so, Mike, as I remind people, we need to pay a fair salary that is competitive with the Fortune 500. That's who we're competing against. We don't have retail sales clerks. We don't have short order cooks. And when we do, our short order cooks work in prisons. And mm-hmm. So they're dealing with a very different population.
And a dangerous environment.
And a dangerous environment where their safety is at risk. And so, we have to have a pay and benefit system that is comparable with the Fortune 500. That's who we're competing with. That's the jobs that we need to provide. We are paid, I believe, competitively now, and our benefit package is a good one. We're in the competitive range. For the people who say, oh, they're paid twice, three times, six times, eight times, pick your number. Are cheap pot shots aimed at federal employees. They're wrong. There is no basis in fact for them. It is hyperbole, they ought to stand down.
Well, I know some people, and I know of some people at the National Cancer Institute and the National Institutes of Health, and these people could double or treble their salaries on the outside, and they're always being courted. And in fact, many of them have to go up against drug companies, and you want them not only the best, but you want them well compensated.
Well, the other thing I'd like to point out, Mike, is one in four of our civil service are veterans. And, you won't find a politician or a think tank out there that would challenge the pay of our veterans. But they wouldn't think twice about, making fun of federal employees and their pay and benefits. Well, let me just remind them, one in four of them are veterans of our United States military. And when you attack one, you're attacking all. When you come after one of our family, you're coming after everybody. So, I think it's time that as a society, we need to understand the days of when you can make cheap pot shots, if you will, at our federal employees ought to be over.
Yeah, this is a very good week and weekend for that. What can somebody do? I'm a federal worker, typical federal worker, or maybe I'm one of those researchers at NIH or I work at NASA. What Public Service Recognition Week is here. What can I do to family, friends, neighbors to let them know what I do for a living how much I like my job, but how at times challenging and oftentimes very dangerous it is.
Well, you know, the first thing, Mike, and it goes to, you know, the biblical adage, the primary rule is love your neighbor as yourself. People forget that part of that command requires you to love yourself first. So the first thing is federal employees need to be as proud of their service, proud of their oath to the Constitution, proud of the risk that they take to defend their neighbors. And if they're proud of their own selves, then they ought to be comfortable in defending themselves wherever they are, whether they be in a family situation, at a church situation, in a community event. And if people sense that pride and sense that level of commitment, and you know, when people make the joke to stand up and say, that's not funny, and let me tell you why, that's how we will change the opinion and the attitude of the country. And so everyone has that responsibility. And we are in every community, Mike. I like to remind people, you know, 85% of federal workers live and work outside of Washington, D.C. People think it's Washington, D.C.
Yeah, all in one Quonset hut here.
We are in every state and in every city and in every county of the country. And we're serving our neighbors everywhere. And everywhere we are, we need to be proud of our service. We need to stand up in those communities. We need to hold people accountable when they come out with misstatements. You know, some of these misstatements where people say, oh, the federal government is so big today. There's, you know, there's this unchained growth. Mike, there are less federal employees today than there were when Lyndon Johnson was president. And yet we have 110 million more Americans we're serving. That's because people are doing more with less. They are doing incredible efficiency to accomplish the service to their taxpayers and making sure every penny counts. We can be proud of that service. We can be proud of that efficiency. We don't need to be have false modesty. We need to come forward and tell our stories. We need to be proud of that. And we're looking at creating opportunities. We want to create sort of a place where feds can go online and sort of say, hi, I'm a federal employee and this is what I do. So they can post those stories and maybe, you know, we can get some of the facts out there to the public.
Got an email from Mr. Small in Arizona, and he just said he's a retiree, but he wanted to thank you for the webpage, how easy it is for old-timers, as he said, like himself, to navigate it. And, you know, I'm thinking about love yourself. I got two very similar emails from both from women in IRS, one in Missouri, one in Montana. And IRS, we have a lot of readers there for whatever reason, we love it. But they both said, you know, read your column on we being proud as part of this takedown of bin Laden. And they said, you know, we help collect the money that makes this kind of operation possible. And we're really proud of it.
It's a great point, Mike. And, you know, I know that the number of people involved, directly involved in that, whether, like you said, whether they know it or not, it runs into the thousands. But you're right. When you think of the indirect connections, think of the sergeant who fixed that helicopter or prepared, you know, that equipment so it would operate under those conditions. Think of, the contracting officer who made sure that that equipment was right and that those dollars were spent appropriately. The chain would go into the hundreds.
Right. Well, when they tell you, please be sure you top up the fuel tank, there's a very good reason for that. Well, John Berry, thank you so much for being with us today. Director of the Office of Personnel Management, and it is Public Service Recognition Week, and we're just delighted to have you. The timing couldn't be better, particularly with the bin Laden. If you've got a last word for the feds.
Mike, I just want to say thank you. God bless you to each federal employee for your service. Thank you for what you're doing to make our country safer, to make our future brighter, and to make our country richer for the next generation. Without you, our Constitution does not survive. God bless you. Thank you for your service.
And you want them to check out that White House website and look at the message from the President and from Mrs. Obama.
Yes, that'd be great, Mike. I think people would be very happy to see it.
Very good. Thank you, John Berry. We'll see you all here next Wednesday. If you want to hear the show again, we're archived on this homepage. And pass it on to a friend. Have a good week.
Away from your radio? Listen to Federal News Radio directly on your desktop. Click the red Listen Now button near the top of the federalnewsradio.com homepage.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
CNN.